Hello, CCC. This is Pastor Mike Gett. Today is November 10, and I want to share with you a little bit of my observations of John chapter 12. Earlier today, we read chapters 12 and 13, or at least if we're tracking with Project 4-4, we did, of the Gospel of John. We find ourselves on some familiar territory here, though, because if we're reading again about the last week of Christ's life, all four Gospels report extensively upon this Passion Week, but John reports fewer events, and he generally gives us, as is his habit, a little more detail, especially conversations that took place. John tells us that, in fact, it was Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, who broke open that container of pure nard. Now, it is probably only because John is writing many years after Mark that he dares to give up her name. The reason she's not named in Mark is without doubt the very same reason that the resurrection of Lazarus goes completely unmentioned in all three of the other Gospels, despite it being incredibly significant. Mary and Lazarus' names are absent from the synoptics because it just simply wasn't safe to mention their name. Unlike the disciples of Christ who were scattered by the early persecution of the church and left Jerusalem to find safety and also to preach the gospel all over Judea and eventually the whole Roman world, it seems that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus have remained in the little town of Bethany. And it's just a few miles from Jerusalem, and they remained there for the rest of their lives. But however, living there, they would have been easily reachable by persecutors and the authorities that were killing the new Christians, the new followers of the way. And so in order to protect them, Matthew and Luke don't even mention the feast at which Jesus was anointed by Mary. And Mark disguises her identity. To protect Lazarus, none of the synoptic writers even refer to his resurrection. By the time John writes, the danger's been passed, though, and so he can now tell the entire glorious story. It's interesting to note that the value of a full pint of nard that Mary broke and anointed Jesus with, while it's difficult to calculate its worth, it surely represented a great deal of her investment, and in all probability was probably her entire life savings. Knowing that the woman was Mary, Lazarus' sister, that provides us with a motive that's missing from Mark's account. Because after Christ raises her brother from the dead, no gift would have been too extravagant. Unlike Judas, who doesn't appreciate the value of her sacrifice for Jesus, John tells us that Judas objected to this gift, not because he cared about the poor. He says he's going to could have sold it and fed the poor, but because he's a thief. Over the years, I've heard people explain that Judas was just a frustrated zealot, but. Maybe Judas was a zealot, but John's explanation is somewhat simpler. Judas was a thief, and his implication is that he sold Christ out for that money. Now, it's interesting that he sells him out for a little bit of silver, and here Mary gives her entire life savings to anoint Jesus. Well, it was this raising of Lazarus, Mary's brother, that brought events to a boil and forced the hands of Christ's enemies. Verse 23 of chapter 12 is the key to understanding all that's about to happen here. Jesus says, the hour has come. Now, because of what happened at the graveyard in Bethany, so many people had begun to follow Christ and so many others had been confirmed in their allegiance to him that the chief priests and the scribes could wait no longer. The crisis had come to a head. You were either a person who was for Christ, or you were against him. You were either his devoted disciple, or you were his abject enemy. Now, since John's audience most likely would have been Greek, it's understandable that he only would record the visits of the Greeks. They came to see Jesus and probably approached Philip because he had a Greek name. And there are three things about this encounter with the Greeks that I want to explore here a little further. The first is the prophecy that Jesus makes concerning his impending death. All throughout his ministry, he's been saying, "My hour has not yet come." And now, he says, the hour has come. And he says he's going to die, like a kernel of wheat, which dies and then produces new seed. Now, that is certainly a prediction of his death. And after it was all over, John could see that it was also an allusion to his resurrection. He also spoke of his death by saying that he would be lifted up. These words, John said, clearly pointed to the cross. Jesus knew exactly how he was going to die. A second thing that about this event that ought to capture our attention is the fact that once again, as at the baptism at the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice of God was heard speaking from heaven. Now when Jesus prayed, "Father, glorify thy name," God said, "I have glorified it and I will glorify it." Now think about this. A few days before at Bethany, Jesus raises a man from the dead. He's been in the ground 4 days. And he did it in the most public way possible. He did it in front of hundreds of people. And then again, in front of a large crowd of people, Jesus talks to God and God talks back. Now they heard it. They knew what had happened. And it caused many of them to believe. And it scared his enemies to death. But instead of believing, his enemies just hated him all the more. The last thing that we need to notice here is, and this to me is very significant, it's the fact that Jesus said his death would have significance, not just for the Jews, but for all men. It is in the presence of these Greek people that Jesus says, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." The theme of universalism, that is, the fact that God's grace is for all men, not just for the Jew, has been there all throughout Scripture. You remember his words to Abraham, "All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." God always intended to have some of every tribe, every tongue, and every nation in his family. Now, the fact that was not clearly understood until the ministry of the Apostle Paul broke upon the first century world, but Jesus understood it. And his words in John chapter 12, they make that very clear. "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me." God's grace is for everyone. It's for you. It's for me. It's for every tongue, every tribe, and every nation. Hallelujah. Once again, this is Pastor Mike Gett. I've enjoyed our time together. Have a great day.